views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. It's your host, David Wren, aka Dave from LA. Just want to thank you all for chiming in and listening. Today is Monday, September 28, 2015. It's another Manic Monday. Just want to thank you all sincerely for listening to Tando Radio Show that's brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. And as always, first things first, everyone, please continue to support Black Talk Radio Network. Tell your friends, tell your family, and if you can make a monetary donation to the network, please do that to assist the network in its overall overhead and it's having the ability to bring you the programming that it brings, because you know this is a great avenue to defeat the propaganda and to get the people thinking, and not only that, for things that are going to directly benefit you, the listener. And there is no cost that you've ever paid for Black Talk Radio Network. And I just would ask that you could, if it's been a blessing to you, for you to also return that blessing and not just be one that eats the fruits, but mainly one that feeds the roots. And that's something that everyone should do. And don't look at anyone else. Look at you. Look at what you're feeding in order for your edification of your spirit, mind, and body. And I would just ask that you support Black Talk Radio Network, because I know it's been very beneficial to you and you appreciate it, and just show your measures of appreciation. Keep it going so someone else can get some of the information that you have gotten, so that more information can be brought to the people and more goodwill and the things that we need can be brought to us, the sustainability that is so necessary. So if you would continue to support Black Talk Radio Network and all of the programs that's there. Believe me, if you don't, no one else will. So please, I would say, really, look at how much it's blessed you, how much it's done for you. And regardless of how big or how small, just do something. Do something and kind of make a commitment to do something as often as you can. If this can be one of your outlets that you support because it's supporting you, then that is a great exchange and a fair exchange. So please continue to support the programming that Black Talk Radio Network brings you. And also go to Tando Radio Show on Facebook. Check out our page there. Check out some of the articles that we posted there, and they're there for you. If you have a comment or question, you can also hit us there. So today's show is going to be based around a couple of things, but today's show is going to be based around the financial headwinds, short-term problems turning to long-term failures. And today's show, just want to talk about some of the things that are going on, some things that continue to unfold as we look at this overall paradigm of control against the people and manipulation of the people continues. And the thing is that we really need to know what they are and how they work so that we can do something about it, individually, collectively, and nationally, and more importantly, globally. So today's show, we're going to talk about that. There was we're going to jump into a video that I wanted to finish out that we never got to finish. But before we do that, just want to say, hey, I will be teaching a precious metals class. When is the next precious metals class? Tomorrow Tuesday. And today, actually, I forgot, today's Monday. Monday and Tuesday, after Tando Radio Show, an hour after it. If you would like to get in on the precious metals, class, definitely, you can directly, text me, 951-790-8330. You can establish a payment plan of classes for $400, and you will learn how to use precious metals. You will learn how to gain interest off of it. You will learn the history of it, and you will learn why it's so important, how to play it in the future. Because right now there are, as we will talk about later in the show after the video, some of the things that are unfolding right now. I'm going to tell you, most of everything, they hide everything in plain sight. What you don't know will and can hurt you, and even to kill you, because the lack of knowledge is something that there can be no excuse for. You either know or you don't know, and what you don't know, it doesn't really care if there is an ignorance that you have of it, especially when it comes to something that's manipulated and controlled by man to maintain its subjugation of humanity. Especially those instances, because those are actively working to destroy your free will. And one of the things that I would like to do, and with Black Talk Radio Network and Tando, what we believe in is for you to have a free will, for a free mind, for a free individual, for a free future, and to maintain and to retake the prosperity of our past, because it is for all that prosperity is there. So, what's going on in the world? You really need to know. Some major, major things were happening this week, and there's some major financial things that are unfolding right now. We're going to talk about that. But if you'd like to get in the precious metals class, definitely give me a call, 951-790-8330, or text me, and I will give you the instructions how to get into the class. And what I did was, because it starts so late, it starts around 9 o'clock, and that's late for, you know, for me, but for people at work, 9 o'clock in the evening, it goes for an hour. And then, we do it that same time the next week. So it's an hour, for 1 week, and it's going to be about 6 weeks that we're going to be doing the class. And I like to teach the most important things in the very beginning, in the middle. But the end of the class is probably the most important part of the class, because of where things are going and how you need to position yourself. But the class is very well worth the overall cost of it. It's, you know, it's actually from what you learn and what you'll be able to directly benefit from will far and supersede the class fee of $400. And then there, if you need to work out a payment plan, we can definitely do that. Have no problem with it. So that is available. If you'd like to take advantage of that, you can once again text me, 951-790-8330, or give me a call. And that will start this evening at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time and 6 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. So you know the time zones, you would know what time it starts. So if you're interested, definitely, believe me, it's something that if you don't take the class, you wish you would have once everything unfolds, and you will see how people will actually be doing quite well, from that class. Okay, so today's show. What I want to do today's show, I want to finish the Four Horsemen and then get into what is actively going on. Today was a very significant day, basically in the UN. The lines of war were pretty much drawn, and told and hinted to the whole world that this is going to happen. And also there was some very, telling financial stuff that we will talk about that happened. And over the weekend, there were some things and they continue to unfold. So we're going to, get back into, cause I want to really finish the Four Horsemen. I'll repost it inside of Tando. It's about 38 minutes left on it. And then when we'll come back, I also want to finish, Thursday. Thursday's, finish out Thursday's show. With some of the things that you won't have in the next Great Depression. And this one will be far, far worse than the last one, believe me, because these people have an insatiable appetite for destroying mankind and establishing a slave system, a caste system that is going to be like nothing before. It is, it's never left that, but it will just reintroduce it in a different way. And it's going to be the same destruction of prosperity and the same destruction of freedom and the same destruction of lives of the past. And it's going to continue. But this can only continue if we allow it to happen, if we allow it to take place by us doing nothing at all. We cannot claim ignorance on this because history has been around for too long, and you've known, don't care where you are in life, you know that things have been going wrong and they're going to continue to go wrong because we and you have not decided to do anything about it. It doesn't matter what these people decide to do. It doesn't matter what the institutions decide to do. It doesn't matter what the financial, the government institutions decide to do. They can only get away with what we allow them to do. And until we decide that we're not going to allow this any longer, and if we petition them to change, when have you ever seen any meaningful change? Because they won't. They have to be made to change their overall direction by their systems and their ideas and their programs not having any support of the people. That's why the things work the way that they work throughout this world. It's the people have allowed to give away false and blind authority. So let's jump into the Four Horsemen. It's going to be about 38 minutes. It's not really that long, but this is a really, really good documentary that I think is really, really important as to where we are and where things are going and what you need to do about it. And then we will touch on it and continue the conversation. And we'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call. Give us a call at 641 is the area code, 715-3660. And the participant code is 549032. Let's jump into the video so that we can have some time to have a monologue about what's going on in this world and get you caught up on exactly what's happening in this current, in these current events that are unfolding extremely fast. So listen up, everyone. This is the Four Horsemen. I will repost this inside of Tando.
Though Pinochet was established that ruled Chile until 1990, there was the systematic suppression of all political dissidents. Thousands were imprisoned and murdered.
Who was involved in that first 9/11? It's not hard to find them. Right in Washington and London and so on. But that's off the agenda. It doesn't count. There's a principle of ideology that we must never look at our own crimes. We should, on the other hand, exult in the crimes of others and in our own nobility in opposing them.
The root causes of so-called terrorism will not be solved by increasing economic inequality. If governments really are serious about combating terrorism, then they must start with real structural reform back home. As long as banking empires chase infrastructure and debt deals in pursuit of profit, the West will continue to export injustice through finance. Millions more will be displaced. Terrorism will thrive, and neo-colonialism will continue to end more and more lives around the world.
Caption says, the things you own end up owning you. By Tyler Durden.
What's happened is that we have moved from a relatively empty world to a relatively full world, that is, empty of us and all of our stuff, to now full of us and all of our stuff. In my lifetime, the world population has tripled, and the populations of other things, of cars, houses, boats, all these other things that put a load on the environment too, just like human bodies, those have vastly more than tripled. So the world is very, very full of what we might call man-made capital. And it's becoming more and more empty of what used to be there, what we might call natural capital.
We are the first generation. We in the rich developed world are the first generation to have got to the end of the real benefits of economic growth. For hundreds of years, the best way of raising the real quality of human life has been to raise material living standards. And that's what's driven the huge rises in life expectancy and increases in happiness and other measures of well-being. But all those have now come detached from economic growth. And although life expectancy continues to rise in the rich world, it's no longer related to the amount of economic growth the country has at all. And the same is true of measures of happiness and measures of well-being.
The paradox is the more we grow, the more poverty we create. Our self-interested economic system seems to be continually missing a trick. So as we keep plundering the Earth's natural capital, is it time to rethink our Western definition of progress?
When I look at the world, I look at it much the way Royal Dutch Shell looks at it. They have one of the best strategic entities in the world, private or public. And Royal Dutch Shell has posited two scenarios. One is called Blueprint and is obviously a planned corporate structure where world leaders get together and they think about things like energy transformation, planetary warming, and dwindling fossil fuels and so forth. The other is called Scramble. And Scramble is pretty much what it sounds like, too. It's a mess. Interestingly enough, in 2075, the ending year for these scenarios, as I recall, we get to about the same place. It's just that Blueprint leaves a lot less blood on the floor. Scramble leaves a lot of blood on the floor as people fight for these resources and so forth.
The reason oil companies are drilling miles under the sea is that the world's easily accessible oil has already been found and largely consumed. Not only are oil supplies dwindling, major new metals discoveries are becoming increasingly rare. 40% of the world's agricultural land is seriously degraded, and ever more volatile yields continue to be unevenly distributed. It may be that the looming environmental threat is not global warming, but the exhaustion of the world's resources.
We're going to have struggles for finding land sufficient to grow the agricultural products for a what the United Nations says is going to be a 9 billion Earth population. We're going to struggle over non-renewable fossil fuels as they run out. I think Shell posits about 2075, they'll be gone. And we're going to struggle over things like water and other precious resources that are necessary to our life and to our economy. And this could be, as Shell says, a blueprint affair with world leaders working together to share and share alike. Or it could be a real mess, and Shell, incidentally, bets on the mess.
Just like the baby boomers' failure to look to the next generation, our outdated competitive mentality for a world of depleted resources could have devastating consequences. Our economic setup encourages one-upmanship, competition, and comparison, whereas the progress humans have made over millennia has been largely based on cooperation.
In any species, in almost any animal, there is always the potential for huge conflict, because with any species, all members of that species have the same needs. So they might fight each other for food and shelter and nest sites and territory and sexual partners, all that kind of thing. But human beings have always had the other possibility. We have the possibility to be the best source of support and love and assistance and cooperation, much more so than any other animal. And so other people can be the best or the worst. You can be my worst rival or my best source of support.
In a progressive society, to meet our common economic, social, and cultural needs, we must move from globalization to localization. The benefits of a communal sense of fellowship, responsibility, and purpose in a life driven by production, not consumption, would lead to happiness and satisfaction. Indeed, we must ask, have our modern consumerist lifestyles made us happy?
I think if one had been living in the 19th century and somebody had told you that 100 years later people were going to be living in this extraordinary wealth and comfort, you know, with central heating and being able to throw away such a high proportion of our food as we do, we'd imagine that we'd be living in a state of extraordinary social harmony and everything would be rosy. And it's really quite remarkable, the contrast between, if you like, the material success of our societies and the social failure.
The growth economy demands that we make consumption a way of life. He who dies with the most toys became the ambition, and retail replaced spiritual satisfaction. Unsurprisingly, sales of antidepressants skyrocketed.
The fact is that the world economy over the last few years, a good share of my lifetime, has been built either on the military or on producing items that most people don't need and really don't even want when you come right down to it, but we all got to have them.
Consumerism is driven by our extraordinarily social nature, that we want to have the stuff so we look good in other people's eyes. It's because I experience myself through other people's eyes, the feelings of shame and embarrassment or pride and maybe feeling envied, all those things. So, you know, the goods are just a way of, if you like, mediating the relationship between yourself and others in this extraordinarily alienated hierarchy.
What's really suffered is human relationships, family life, the things that really matter to us. And in the end, the only thing that makes human beings happy isn't money. It's very clear that past a certain level, you only get marginal gains from wealth. What really makes us happy is other people. It's our relationship with other people that's really been damaged by the last 30 years. We trust them less. We have less interaction with them. We bond less than ever before. We marry less, and marriages are under more threat than ever before. And all the associations that represent sort of permanent, unconditioned human affection are being eroded or damaged. And that's the real legacy of the last 30 years. And in some sense, we've got to recover and rehumanize our lives. Otherwise, not only will they be nasty, brutish and short, but they'll be lonely.
The West is coming to the realization that its human project is failing. The West was so convinced that if you push people to achieve as individuals, the accumulated achievement of individuals would make for a successful society. And what the West is now beginning to realize is that the individual achievement, without incorporating the vulnerable community, is a myth. The idea was, make your own life. Be individually aspiring, and then you'll be individually achieving, and then you'll be individually prosperous, and then you'll be individually happy. You end up doing that in a glass jar. And the glass jar has a limited height, and it's encapsulating, and in the end, you die of lack of oxygen. Human beings are alive because they seek attachment, and because they're propelled by affection. So the isolated, achieving individual in the end implodes.
In order to find a purpose in life, it has to be outside yourself. It matters not how you construct it outside yourself, as long as it's a positive value added to society pursued. But it has to be outside yourself. It can't be yourself. If you're pursuing yourself, you're pursuing the abyss, as Nietzsche said. You are going to wind up in the abyss.
One of the most powerful cultural frameworks that shapes the way we think today in the West is the Hollywood film construction. And it follows a particular cultural pattern in that there is a beginning, there is a middle and an end. There is drama, tension, there's resolution. There's usually a goodie and a baddie. And it's usually a story told through the medium of human beings. This Hollywoodization of the way that people communicate and the way they tell stories about themselves and view their recent history has very much impacted how we look at the financial crisis, in that people look at the beginning, the middle and the end, they look at the drama around Lehman Brothers and they wanted, say, a resolution, and they wanted baddies, they wanted sacrificial victims as well. So people have focused on a few individuals. And the idea that somehow it wasn't just one or two individuals who were at the root of the problem, it was a systemic problem that actually almost everyone who participated was in some way guilty, either of outright negligence or simply failing to ask the right questions or simply failing to ask why money was so cheap for so many years. The idea that it was a systemic flaw is something which is very hard for people to grasp and even harder to depict as a good story.
Perhaps there is this feeling of helplessness because we don't understand what the real problem actually is. Cleansing a few bad apples will not rectify the flaws at the heart of the Western economic system. A system that should be protecting people is in fact the very thing that's enabling our four horsemen to ride with such vengeance. The modern day four horsemen. A rapacious financial system. Escalating organized violence. Abject poverty for billions. And the exhaustion of the earth's resources. Are riding roughshod over those who can least afford it. They gallop unchallenged because the cognitive map that's been put in place by our schools, universities, and our media does not encourage us to question accepted norms. Instead, there is apathy.
In a sense, I think we're rather depressed societies. We've got used to the idea that there's nothing that can be done. There is no alternative. That, you know, we're never going to deal with these environmental problems and we live in a dog-eat-dog society and that's it. I think what we have to take away from this is a recognition that most of these problems can be very substantially improved by making our societies more equal, reducing the income differences, and that also helps us to solve the environmental problems. We can reach a society that is qualitatively better for all of us.
Well, the apathy is sort of engineered because you don't have any discussion of this in the public media. Hardly by surprise, the public media are owned by the real estate and the financial interests, and they're not going to explain to people the integration between the financial, insurance, and real estate sectors, the FIRE sector.
There's this disinformation going on, passing the buck, denying what the real driving factors are. All of these are common strategies. In fact, even in education, you can see that banks have helped to set up universities. They've funded them. They fund think tanks. They have educational foundations. They own newspapers. All of this stuff is going on as a kind of propaganda exercise so that the people don't actually work out what the problem is.
You should not assume because, you know, you don't have a background in economics or in law that these issues are somehow too complex for you. They're not complex at all. It's very simple. It's about power, and it's about democracy, and you understand that just as well as I do.
One source of this disinformation is the neoclassical school of economics. These economists and academics have been successful in convincing the world that their models were gospel. But just as Gutenberg's printing press was revolutionary in the 16th century, today we're at the dawn of internet enlightenment, which will remove the cloud of ignorance upheld by academic and media gatekeepers. Education can be a form of mass mind control, and it's astonishing that today neoclassical economics continues to be taught in all Ivy League universities.
I do get letters from students in economics departments at other universities. They're into some graduate program or something, and they say, oh, you know, I just read such and such that you wrote, and this is the kind of thing that interests me. I'm stuck in this program here in which, you know, I can't even talk about any of that. You know, what's your advice? What should I do? What they're teaching you is what you're going to have to oppose. A lot of it. I mean, some of it's useful. But so some of it's useful. Go ahead and learn it. And the other reason for learning the rest of it is know your enemy.
An individual might not be able to change the system, but they can change themselves. If we're not offered proper education, we must begin our own. And a good place to start is to become reacquainted with the classical economists, and with something that so few question, but that affects us all, our system of money.
If the monetary system of the world is not reformed, then we are headed towards the end of industrial civilization. I won't say that we're going to the end of humanity, but it's just going to be an absolute collapse and of our world as we have known it, because it cannot function on fiat money. And none of those who are responsible for this want to admit it, but that is the fact.
The fiat system of money is a man-made law, and it's been abused. Is there a form of money whose law is not set by man?
When you look at natural law and gold, I sort of describe gold as being a natural form of money. All of the gold that's been mined throughout history still exists in its above-ground stock. It's about the size of 2.5 Olympic swimming pools. You put all that gold together in one place. And the key is that this above-ground stock of gold grows by about 1.75% per annum, which is approximately equal to new world population growth, and is approximately equal to new wealth creation. So as the net result of this is that you have this very good consistency in gold's purchasing power over long periods of time, because the supply-demand equation is very much in balance. To achieve human liberty, you really need to have sound money, and gold is the only way to do that, because only gold is outside of the control of politicians.
With modern man-made monetary processes, a chronic excess of debt has built up at every level of society. Debt is now regarded as normal. It isn't. It's a form of slavery. But how much do we question our debt? And what should we now do about it?
The classic example, most recently, of a debt cancellation was the German economic miracle in 1947. The Allies canceled all domestic and international German debts, except for the debts that employers owed their employees for the previous few weeks, and except for a basic working balance that everybody was able to keep in the bank in order to buy food for the next few weeks or so. Essentially, you would follow the 5 or 6 pages that the currency reform of 1947 did in Germany. You would start with a clean slate. That means that everybody would own their property free and clear. And the problem here is that you'd wipe off the savings that are the counterparts of that. That actually would not be such a bad thing if you look at the fact that the wealthiest 1% of Americans have concentrated an enormous amount of wealth in their own hands, more than at any earlier time since statistics have been kept.
Our system of taxation also needs addressing. Currently, we're taxed on what we produce. Perhaps it would be more progressive to tax what we consume. How many American people realize that the Founding Fathers never intended Americans to be taxed on their labor? In other words, they weren't meant to pay income tax. The tax system that was exported from Britain, a relic of colonialism, has duped the world.
The most important element of a tax system is to do what everybody expected to be done in the 19th century, and that is to base the tax system on land taxation, on the free lunch of land value, and on what John Stuart Mill called the unearned increment, the income that landlords made in their sleep, as he put it.
Who made oil in the ground, coal or iron ore? These are things which are not the products of human effort. Of course, extracting them is, but their existence is not. And so the rents from natural resources are a wonderful source of taxation. Nobody made them, so, and when you do tax them, you cause all of us to use them more efficiently. So this seems like really the excellent thing to tax rather than labor and capital.
If the government used this land site value that's supplied by nature, not by human labor, not by a personal enterprise, then the government would not have to tax wages in the form of income tax. It wouldn't have to imply sales tax that add to the price of doing business, and it wouldn't have to add the proliferation of business taxes.
This tax system, advocated by all the classical economists, would begin to address global poverty, as it would allow citizens in developing countries to keep their resource wealth. In developed countries, it would begin to address our housing and debt crisis, and unleash the kind of entrepreneurship needed to refloat our economies. Perhaps we should also resurrect another timeless principle for workers that was promoted during the Industrial Revolution.
Well, the idea that people who work in a plant ought to own it is just deeply built into working class culture. So right around here at the early Industrial Revolution in the late 19th century, the working people simply took for granted that, yes, of course, the workers should own the mills in which they work. Anything else is an attack on our fundamental rights as free citizens. They also took for granted that wage labor is hardly different from slavery. It's different only because it's temporary, and then you can be free. One of the ways you can be free is by owning your own plants. That was not an exotic view. That was Abraham Lincoln's view. In fact, it was a principle of the Republican Party in the late 19th century. It's taken a lot of effort to drive those ideas out of people's heads, but they're still there, and they are very relevant.
It was the Greek philosopher Plato who said the ratio of earnings between highest and lowest paid employee in any organization should be no more than 6 to 1. In 1923, banker J.P. Morgan declared no more than 20 to 1 was optimum. Yet today's salary difference between top and bottom earners in global corporations can be higher than 500 or 1,000 to 1.
When you're up in the range of 500 to 1 inequality, the rich and the poor become almost different species, no longer members of the same community. A commonality of interest is lost. And so it's difficult to form community and to have good, friendly relationships across class differences that are that large.
When the public do vent their outrage at inappropriate earnings, the common defense is to move the debate to the psychological realm and quote mercurial British economist Herbert Spencer. He coined the phrase survival of the fittest, and his words are now used to justify excess. Competition in business is a good thing, but the playing field must be level. Monopolists have too much because the system they game is rigged. Under the current economic setup, the fitness of the vast majority of the world's population is irrelevant. Those that are made to pay for this crisis are not those that caused it. But those who caused it, for survival, will no doubt try to marginalize this film as socialist or even Marxist.
I'm a capitalist. I'm a business person. I believe in the basic principles. That's why I'm completely appalled by seeing these principles destroyed by monarchs, monopolists, who have totally destroyed the system from within on Wall Street. And this is completely unacceptable.
I'm a capitalist. I think capitalism can do it. It's not a question of getting rid of capitalism. It's a question of getting rid of this terrible form of capitalism.
Capitalism, more broadly understood, market economy, not only has a future, I can't see the future of the world without it. But the question is, what kind of capitalism? What kind of market economy?
A system of reformed capitalism built on independent money, a tax system based on consumption, not income, and employee-owned businesses would begin to build an economy that's not dependent on constant growth to service its debt. We've endured the so-called free market for centuries, but far from being free, it's led us to destroy nature and each other in a vain attempt to progress.
it's absolutely ludicrous to suggest that somehow there is a scientifically defined boundary of the market that we should never change. Yeah? And of course, that's what the free market economy wants you to believe. Yeah? Because once they convince you of that and claim that, on top of that, claim that they have the truth because they are, you know, PhDs in economics, then they can tell you whatever they want. Yeah? And then you'll have to accept it. Yeah? But that's where we have to take these guys on. Politics is about drawing the boundary of the market. You know, I mean, when you think about it, a lot of things have been taken out of the market over the last 2-3 centuries. Two, 3 centuries ago, you could buy and sell human beings, child labor. A lot of things that you wouldn't imagine you could buy and sell today. So, I mean, over time, we have redrawn this boundary, and there's nothing wrong with redrawing the boundary again.
Things that were considered absolutely reasonable in the 1850s, like selling any chemical on a street corner and telling you that it's a pharmaceutical drug that will make the good for you, things like that that were absolutely commonplace then are now serious criminal offenses. Well, the same thing will be true of active money management in 100 years.
The breakdown we saw in the Great Depression and witnessed again at the beginning of the 21st century occurred because in the name of growth, much was taken out of the system by those who contribute very little. Multinational corporates and banks will always want to grow without having to compensate those people who actually do the work to produce the surplus. In the past, every time too much was taken by those who contributed little, people rose up to halt the violent practices enacted by a tangible enemy. Today, the question is, with such a formed enemy pervading every element of our economic and democratic process, can it be done again?
Of course it can be done again. Look, it's a cycle. I mean, we're not debt peons, but maybe rats running around a little wheel in somebody's big cage somewhere. The finance rises, finance becomes organized, you make a lot of money in banking, it's easy to go out and buy politicians. But the essence of democracy, the essence of American democracy, is this is a repeated confrontation, a repeated showdown. And in the 1830s, Andrew Jackson beat the Second Bank of the United States. In the early 1900s, Teddy Roosevelt beat J.P. Morgan and John D. Rockefeller. In the 1930s, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR, beat everyone from Wall Street. And now we have to do it again.
The one single thing that makes me optimistic rather than cynical, pessimistic, is my students. First, I do not see the desire to go to Wall Street amongst them. I see the opposite. Second, I see a disdain amongst them for people who are motivated. Not just they don't want money. I see a disdain amongst them for people who do just want money.
The crises we face today are created by humans. And what is created by humans can be changed by humans. So we are all capable of transforming our world.
Revolutions are philosophical. Getting organized and preventing the culprits camouflaging the real problem means it's possible to embark on a bloodless revolution against the violent organizations and barbaric leaders who've trashed the economy. Central banking, rigged capitalism, land speculation, income tax, and neoclassical economics have corporatized democracy, stunted progress, perverted the course of human destiny, and compromised the future of this planet. If these issues aren't addressed, then the next implosion will be on a scale unimagined. Whatever the propaganda, at the beginning of the 21st century, central banks unregulated cheap money pumped up land values, which created an unsustainable asset bubble in a world that once again operates a rigged tax system that enriches entrenched privilege. Neoclassical economics have ruined life for the bottom billions, tempted everyone into intergenerational conflict, and created massive suffering that has no limits. Human beings go mad in crowds and come to their senses slowly and individually. History is littered with examples of people who threw themselves off the yoke of oppression to adopt radical change, only to end up with popular new rules that maintain the status quo. To really understand something, is to be liberated from it. Dedicating oneself to a great cause, taking responsibility, and gaining self-knowledge is the essence of being human. A predatory capitalist's truest enemy, and humanity's greatest ally, is the self-educated individual who has read, understood, delays their gratification, and walks around with their eyes wide open.
All right, everyone. I'm going to go to a quick commercial break. That was the Four Horsemen documentary, the end of it. Wanted to get to the end of it. We played it some time ago. A lot of people wanted to hear the rest of it, so just wanted to get that played out. And it was some good things and some bad things. Some things agree with, some things I definitely disagree with within the documentary, and some things I definitely agree with. So as all, no one is the same. That's the beauty of us all. So we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. Let's go to a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to jump back into this. And if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call. Area code 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
This is Ron Hayes with Hood News, and you're listening to the Black Talk Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Elliot Booker, host of Time for an Awakening Radio on the Black Talk Radio Network, speaking in behalf of Black Talk Media Project's 2015 fundraiser. Since 2008, the Black Talk Media Project, which has created Black Talk Radio Network, has engaged in producing original content from a black perspective for the global black community. You can help us continue this mission and help us even more by giving donations to the Black Talk Media Project's 2015 fundraiser and asking others to do so also. Let us work together to make 2015 a stronger year for independent black media. Again, this is Elliot Booker of Time for Awakening Radio Program on the Black Talk Radio Network.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Kando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. And once again, thank you all for really thank you all for listening and thinking. It's so important that we think. And it is actually the engine of our real freedom, is the thinking. And then after the thought, the actually planning and energizing the actions of our thoughts into existence. Because a thought does not come into existence until you put your energy behind it, or energy gets behind it. Then it becomes a reality. So if you'd like to get in on a conversation, we'd love to hear from you. 641-715-3660. Participant code is 549032. Hopefully, Brother Davis, Sister Davis, if you're listening, give us a call. Brother Braggs also, because we got to talk about one of the things that we talked about last week, putting together a show. That's because time is of the essence. Okay, now, what I would like to do, there's a couple of things that was said, and some parts of the Four Horsemen was pure eugenics, pure. Whenever you start talking about population and the certain resources and how that's being used up, you got to be extremely careful of that. Because how they justify that is this, is that they put everyone in cities. They make these mega cities, and with the overall concentration of the mega cities, that gives you the perception that everywhere in the world that you live in is crowded. The resources are solely being manipulated, but some of them are actually used up. And you have to know the difference between the two, because it's so important to know that. Because there are some resources that the earth itself creates. Water, abiotic. Oil is abiotic. The story that they told you about how petroleum comes into existence is a lie. It's a pure lie. And as soon as we understand that blood, like your body produces, the earth is the petroleum that is needed for the living state that the earth is in to maintain itself. So that is one thing. Hold on. We got a caller here. Welcome, caller, to the Tando Radio Show. What is your question? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Richmond, Virginia.
Hey, what's up, bro? How you doing? What's your name?
My name is Mike Wynn.
What's up, Mike? How you doing, sir?
I'm good. Thank you for your show and your insight. I have a question. Do you think, speaking on the subject you just brought up to make us think that our world is clouding, do you think we are manipulated and, I guess I would say from a grade school to high school, they tell you that you have to go to college and then you get out of college and then you're in debt and you have to get a job. So they keep you in that sheep, that sheep mentality. Like they want us all to be herded. Am I going too deep, or is that along the line of what you're saying?
That's exactly, Mike, what's being said. You know, one of the things that I've noticed throughout life and just my short time here and experiences that I have here, is that they actually control, because, you know, when you take young people, they're so impressionable. And what they realize is that because young people are so impressionable, instead of developing their individual minds, they develop the thinking of that mind, and they do it through school. Mm. And then the overall progression of the degrees and the grades of schooling, your first grade of schooling, your second grade of schooling, your third grade, they grade you along the scale of their schooling that they want you to repeat to maintain the social structure, the economic structure, the religious structure that benefits the few and subjugates the many.
Well, I think in kindergarten, they would give you a U or an S for getting along well with others. And y'all remember that in kindergarten? You get the
U. Now, let me tell you something, Mike. You're aging and dating yourself, man, because that's my time. That's
well, yeah, I'm 51. I'm 51, so I've been around. I'm an ex-rapper. I'm a black male rapper who realized he was corny and put the mic down.
Ooh.
I got into the business side.
Man, let me tell you,
you know, there's a lot of those running around here. Some of them, not all of them get smart like Will Smith or LL, but I fell down that dogma of the black male society telling me to brag about material things and the girls and that. You know, that's a distraction. That's another distraction, too, especially for black males. And they tell us, you know, there's a certain dogma we're supposed to go down to keep us in control, too. That's a whole other show. But
No, Mike, you know that because I'm 47. I know exactly, you know, where you are. And you're exactly right because, see, that's the conditioning. In order for the conditions in the environment of the system to maintain its control over everyone. And you are exactly right when you talk about.
They told us that OE, they told us, they put Ice Cube on TV and told us that OE English was cool to drink. I remember.
Right.
And when bought me 40 little OE. Just Ice Cube.
Right, Mike. We all did it. But see, the thing about it, Mike, is that when you did it and when I did it, we knew that there was something more about this that was so wrong.
Something wasn't right.
Yeah. Something wasn't right. And that's why you turned the mic off. Because it wasn't the mic that you turned off. You turned off the propaganda.
Right. This road to success, I was told, is really a freedom. I do business management now, full time for a lot of artists and independent labels. And I explained to them that this dream of getting a record deal and getting your song on the radio and opening me up for a little ring. I said, that's a distraction. If you don't have a business, where's your LLC? Where's your tax ID? Where's your publishing, your copyright? Let's get all of that together. And then, you know, that's what you need to do instead of that dream, you know, that
right.
I guess, you know, when you see those rappers on stage and they rap about gold and women, all the material things they got, I guess that, you know, that'll make you want to get that too. But again, it's that distraction. That's deep.
Right. And it's a part of the overall mechanism of control. And so it's, you know, the real nomenclature of how things work, how this slave society works, it has to start in degrees and in grades. And that's where it starts. So that, because we don't even realize that the real intrinsic value of gold, of real money. And see, we just think that it's something that's shiny and everything else, and it has some value. But see, the most important thing is that we don't know why it has value. We don't know why, like you try to tell your artist, why you need to have a publisher, why you need to have your own business, why you need to be in control of your overall complete business so that you can have a voice that really reflects an artistry that really reflects you. I remember, you know, one of my good friends work with, he's the DJ for the old school group Audio 2, DJ Teddy Ted.
Yeah.
And Ted was so, you know, forward looking, you know. And Ted knew that the only way that you're really going to maintain your own identity is to control who you are and what you sign yourself up to. And your signature is the real business of everything.
Wow.
Be careful.
Well, I love
where
your show, if you don't mind. I love your show. You don't mind, I'm going to plug you to some other business-minded conscious people.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, I got a matter of fact, this millionaire mindset, she's a welfare, child of welfare, child. She went on and got herself up, and she loves to motivate and talk. And I really love your show, man. I got tons going through by a friend, and I'm impressed. And definitely going to plug you, man. Appreciate you.
Cool. Thanks, Mike. Give us a call back.
And what you're doing in the spirit of Harriet Tubman, man. You're freeing the slaves, but a lot of them don't know they are. Good for you.
Thank you so much, brother. It's the, right. Instead of the Underground Railroad, we need the Overground Railroad now. That's what it's all about. So we stop walking the...
Yeah, you're right. And your show's on every six to eight, Monday through Friday?
Yes, sir.
Well, cool. I'm going to verify that. Thank you so much for your time, man.
No problem, brother.
All right.
Much love, and respect. So, yeah, thanks for the call, Mike. But it's so important that we understand the nomenclature of things, how things really do work, you know. And Mike had said, you know, about the schools and everything else. Yes, that's a part of the whole thing, and it's important that we start to identify what it is that we need to dismantle. Because if we just look at the one or two things, if we just allow the agenda to be set by a political group that comes out of the same bowels as the overseers, the legislators, nothing will continue to change. But see, they condition us to think that that is what we need to do to move forward. And just like the one gentleman at the end of the clip said, so eloquently said, all of the things that we are facing with are created by human beings. And in order to fix these problems, it shows that we can fix them with human beings. And at some point, and if we start to realize is that we do not have to pay for our birthright, now you're speaking on a whole different level. Now you're operating in a whole different paradigm, and operating in a whole different space where you refuse to pay for your birthright. Now the question is, what is your birthright? That's where the true question should be. And that question has to be answered by you based off of the truth of life, not based off a decree, not based off of an executive order, not based off of a directive, not based off of an order from another man. that has to be solely authentic to your energy and how you resonate as a human being. And you'll realize something very quickly. One of the things I remember being told as a young man is that in order for a prince to become an effective king, you must first understand the art of being lonely. Because within that lonely times, you're going to have to make decisions that's going to separate you from everything else. Well, the key to that whole thing is that everyone is born noble. Everyone has harmonic authority. Everyone is relevant. And until we realize that, then we can stop allowing our energy to be used against us. They've played this great judo against us. They've allowed our energy to be formed against us. That is such a position of disadvantage that we have got to change. Now back to this, before we move on in the show, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032. Now let's get back to the four horsemen. There was a couple of things that were said that has to be, you know, I would like to touch on. They talked about a free market. One, there is no such thing as a free market that's based in an economy. Because an economy is a system. If you ever look up the word economy, and I would suggest that you do. And let me pull it up real quick since I mentioned it. And if you look up the word economy, you'll learn that this was created by man himself. And everything that man has created has been used, exploited against other men. So let's look up the word economy. Excuse me. And how many times do we ever really just look up words to get their meaning, their full meaning? And then not only in one reference, but to vet them in many. Economy means this: thrifty management, frugal in the expenditures of or consumption of money, material, an active meaning of thrifty savings, a saving. The management of resources of a community, country, etc., especially within the view of its productivity. The prosperity of earnings of a place. The disposition or regulation of the parts or functions of an organic whole, an organized system of method, the effective sparing. The use of something, the efforts in an economic movement. So now it also means to take control, to have relative economic class control. So if you look at this, the thrifty management, see, you weren't born to be managed. Yes, you live a existence in which you need to manage things in your life. You were never meant and built to manage people in your life. The management of people has been misunderstood and has been taken out of place. And this is where you get real estate. The management of people is impossible for prosperity. You can't manage people to prosperity. You can only manage inanimate objects, non-living objects, because you have no control over any other life form that you happen to share the universe with. When you should be working in cooperation with it. So there is no such thing as a free market because man has created an economy why the great creator God Almighty has created an ecosystem. And that was, you know, one of the first things. Then, and it said so many things, like in the beginning, they were talking from a very distinguished eugenics point of view, the controlling of resources. The resources that we have, there's not one man that has created it. It was not created by a man to be owned by any man. It was created for the sustainable life, the sustainable quality of life for all living things. And once you start to try to manage that, you have to start an economy of destruction against all living things. And that's exactly what we have now. And we keep thinking that we can do it better. Well, the thing about this is that you can't make poison. You can't make fire. You can't make a destructive force override the principles of its existence. Poison kills the body, the tissue. Fire can consume everything. In its burning, it charred, it sears, it destroys, it takes something out of its form and melts it into something, the same thing, but not in the original form that it was in. Yes, it could be beneficial, but there may be no benefit if it's out of control. It will destroy everything. So, you can't have resources that are controlled by human beings. And you know, one of the things that I picked up in the video that was very, very dangerous is this, is that they are trying to manage the revolution before it starts. Because let me tell you, it sounds good, but they weren't completely committed. There's no way that you can be a capitalist. There's no way that you can be a free market thinker. There's no way that you can be an economist without control. Yes, you may think that, well, we can scale back and share a little more, but if you're not going to share everything completely, you're not going to make progress anywhere. You're just going to delay the fraud. And when it comes, it will slowly build. And that's what the system knows. And that's what it really wants. This is how they can control and destroy the black community. This is how they destroy individuals. Because you don't ask the government to change. You abolish it and establish the community. And no, I'm not talking on a social level. I'm talking on a spiritual truth level, sincere level of living. Because until you can do that, only thing that you're doing is it's delaying the death. The destruction. It's destruction delayed. But it will come. It most surely will. So now, I wanted to, you know, but before we get off of that, it's funny how they talked about Royal Dutch Shell. Really, Royal Dutch Shell? Please, everyone, please, research the history of Royal Dutch Shell. And Royal Dutch Shell said that they think is going to be the scramble for the natural resources. Is because Royal Dutch Shell is going to make sure that that happens, because that's the only way that they remain royal in their controlling of resources. They tell you that they've used up all of the cheap fossil fuels. But what they didn't tell you is that they told you something and you believed it. And the thing about it is that when are we going to stop believing the liars? When are we going to stop believing and even questioning or even energizing the manipulators? When are you going to stop asking for their opinion? When are we going to stop giving them authority? Not just us individually, but more importantly, us collectively. When are we going to stop supporting them? These things need to be thought about because the question is more important and more valuable than the answer, because the answer is temporary while the question is eternal. These are the questions that we need to ask ourselves. And there are many more to follow it. That's what makes a question so powerful. It's eternal, and it continues to produce the questioning of everything else. Because one of the first things we need to do before we even look anywhere, we need to question ourselves. And that question has to be, what am I really about? What matters to me? What am I going to spend my life, this temporary physical life, but how is my temporary physical life going to exalt my spiritual eternal life? So if you really think about it, even your physical life is eternal. See, they give us a watch and a clock, and they give us a calendar to control us. Because a watch, a clock, a calendar, and the belief of time, it never ever allows you to grow into your real self. It rushes you into what the system wants you to be. It rushes you into the temporal state. It rushes you to death. Because it's continuously moving and you're always running out of time. Well, if you ever want to stop running out of time, realize the truth. It has no real existence. It was completely made up to control you. And once you take that bondage off of you, once you release that yoke, that chain, you will look at things much, much differently. And you'll see you're endless. And that's a very powerful place to be. So just wanted you guys to take notice of Royal Dutch Shell. You know, this is a company that tells you, that will give you scientific evidence that they've conjured up, produced. They can give you all the books because they write the books. They fund the books writing. They fund the agenda. They fund the curriculum. And they tell you something that is a lie. They tell you it's the truth. And then now the truth becomes then now the lie becomes reality. Now you have an insane world. Because it can't look at the truth, even though it stands on its own. They look at the truth in confusion. Because we have no connection with it. There's no such thing as the earth running out of fossil fuels. What will happen is this. It's just like your body. If you lose too much blood, you will die physically. If you take too much blood, if you take the earth's blood, which is the oil, then it will start to have very traumatic responses and very traumatic effects on the overall global structure and the overall health of the earth. These people are bleeding you dry in so many ways. You know, fossil fuels that the earth produces, they are taking more fossil fuels than what the earth can produce in a given time period. Just like water is abiotic. Do you really think that those oceans got as full as they are here on this planet and as plentiful as they are if the earth didn't produce it? Because if that wasn't the case, what rainstorm did I miss that has not continued for all of our lives? Because in order for the basin of this earth to be filled with the water that it's filled with, the depths of the oceans haven't even been mapped yet. In order to get that physical abundance of a dense element such as water requires a continuous supplying of it. So that means the earth is producing it. Else we would never, you would have never not known a time in your life when it wasn't raining. Because the process of evaporation to go into rain, when the sun causes the oceans to evaporate and it goes up into, collects in the clouds and then is released, that process, because of how timely and how small it is and how much rain is really produced from that, is nowhere near enough to fill the whole earth, where most of the earth is covered in water. That's just the covering of it, but it's also the depths of it. We never stop to ask and challenge the lies. And I know some people would say it was the flood. Really? So, you know, this company, as well as many others, control the propaganda. And they can only control the propaganda as long as we're buying the propaganda. If there's no propaganda to be sold, I'm sorry, if there's no propaganda to be sold, then there will be no propaganda that will be produced. We got to stop buying the propaganda. So, just wanted to say that about the video so far, but if you'd like to get in on conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032. So now, with that being said, it was some real good things in the Four Horsemen, but I would say, you know, think with it from a different standpoint, because believe me, these people, like Royal Dutch Shell, they're going to make sure that the scramble continues. And I don't know if you remember what the gentleman said about the scramble. The scramble creates the blood. They can have people killing each other for their business, not their product, but for their business. And their business is to control. And they do they're a very well-funded organization to manipulate and subjugate the population. So the natural resources are the key to our freedom and prosperity, not for the controlling of them, but the sharing of the intrinsic values that they have. You don't have silver because of the value of it. You have silver because of the intrinsic value of it. What is its capability? What did God deem it capable of doing? Just like God deemed you capable of doing. And when we don't walk within and utilize those capabilities, we get confused. And before you know it, we'll be in a catatonic, zombatized state of not knowing who we are. And you'll hear yourself saying, I don't know. I don't know. That's because you've been schooled in a different grade. So let's move on from here. But by all means, if you have a question or comment you'd like to make, definitely give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032. Now, there's a couple of things I wanted to get back to that we didn't get to finish last week, and it was some of the things that you will lose during the next Great Depression. And we got down to, we were down here. Okay, here we go. The next, we were down to number 9. I think it was. Let's see. Okay, yes, lifespan. Number 9. Number 9 would be lifespan. Hospitals become overwhelmed with charitable cases. Many hospitals will close during the lack of funding. Now, this is talking about during this next Great Depression that we're falling into. And believe me, we are falling into it. We are already there. We have already hit the point of no return. Now, what we have to do is we have to return ourselves to sustainability, to being able to sustain ourselves. And if we continue to ride this train of destruction, it will continue to destroy, because it's already in the depression stage in so many ways. So let's look at how this train continues, what we can expect. Access to drugs and doctors will be highly limited. You'll need to pay cash ahead for times for medical care. Expect the average lifespan to drop from 80 to 70. Since sophisticated advanced Medicare and life extending drugs will be out of the reach of most people. Now let me stop there. One of the benefits of this depression that's not being spoken of here is they say that the cure, the care for things, the last thing that we need is health care. Because healthcare has gotten us diabetes, has gotten us cancer, has gotten us all of the illnesses that are destroying our the people. It is the care that they say is care, but is the lack of care that they have for us. They look at every person as a resource, as a part of a business proposal, in a business opportunity for profit. They look at us as a equity and a commodity. They look at us as real estate. To me, that's where the term real estate comes from. They look at living things as estates of theirs. The estates of their financial affairs. And this is why you have health care that is killing everyone. Like we said before in the past shows, if you really look at every person that you know has been murdered. Every person that you pretty much know has been murdered. Even the people that have so-called died of natural causes, but it wasn't natural things that deteriorated their body that caused their death. It was synthetic, unnatural things that brought about the diseases that killed them. It was a intention and a state of malice that was put into existence in order to kill at a very slow rate. And they used the healthcare system to get you ill, to get you away from all of your life savings and your ability to continue in life. They exact from you all that they need. And what is it they need? They need your energy, but they don't need you to have the strength of your energy for yourself. So what do they need to do? To slowly start to exact that from you. And in that exaction, they get paid what they're not owed or what is not due. And we surrender all of our life labor to them. And that's the thing about this system of exaction. It cannot allow you to live long and strong. Because then over time, and it can't allow you to live in a state of health, in a strength, in a state of real strength. Because when you live in a state of health and strength, and your mind is healthy and strong, you start to question and think beyond your state. Now you become a problem to the system. You become a spirit of revolution. So believe me, they have this all planned out, and they have people perpetuating this as minions at different states. You'll have your doctors, and they'll tell them this is what you'll get, because they give them the same illusion of a quality of life that is going to consume them just as well. It's going to murder them too. Because see, the thing about this whole system, it loves no person, it knows no love, because knowing love is the act of giving. Hate is the action in the state of selfishness. It's never enough. It's not on your terms. So the healthcare, one of the good things about this depression is that people are going to have to, and they're going to be forced to fall back on God's medicine cabinet. For every disease that man creates, God has created an herb to cure it. Key word there is the cure. And people will start to be more self-sufficient and start to move towards things that can actually heal them. But the bad part about this stage of the depression is that the controlling of those resources, the controlling of that money, those items that are money that have real intrinsical value, are being consumed and hoarded and kept away from the general public because they don't want you to know. Then they make the unwise foolish and stupid. They make the unwise foolish by having them to make it uncool, develop slogans against the people that are starting to wake up and think. And then you have people that will carry the water for the very same system that's going to drown them, and to perpetuate the propaganda even further, come up with conspiracy theories and different things, and to ostracize the real thinkers. And we do this because we've been taught this, and it's so destructive. And at some point, we have to think anew. Can't use the same consciousness that created the problem. So now, it says that medical care and life-extending drugs will be out of reach for most people. The bad part about that is that so many people in so many different realms and in so many different types and cases are dependent upon, are now addicted to the prescription drugs of the legalized government-sealed drug pushers. These doctors have pushed all of these synthetic drugs into your body. Now your body can't operate without them effectively or efficiently. It has become codependent on them. So I would definitely, definitely suggest for everyone here, regardless of the cost, and believe me, they are starting to knock off, kill, take out, silence from your ears, because the people that they kill are never silenced. You just can't hear them anymore. But it's so bad, they don't even have to physically destroy their body or kill them. We're so caught into the system and so naive, we don't even hear the truth that stands right in front of us. Man, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to finish this conversation. Jump in on the conversation. Give us a call, 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back.
What's that? Nice. Yeah.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. Just want to thank you all for listening. If you have a question or comment, I would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032. And we were finishing the Four Horsemen documentary, and we were finishing up What You Will Lose During the Next Great Depression. And then we got down to number 9. We got a couple more that we have to get to before we get out of here. But if you have a question or a comment, don't hesitate to give us a call, because your voice is so important. Need to hear you, need to hear your thoughts, and need to hear your solutions. And more importantly, we need to definitely have your energy be a part of our whole existence, because that's what we've walked away from. It's so funny. We've allowed, our cell phones, our computers to replace the people in our lives, and all of us are really guilty of that, but that can be changed. You know, so many people now are walking around with their heads down. We used to, you know, walk around, check out what was going on in the sky. You know, it was so funny. When I was growing up, and I know a lot of you were growing up before this daggone digital age, and before this advent of handheld computers, you know, young people were walking around looking up at everything. Looking up at everything, exploring everything with their minds, with their eyes. They were asking a bunch of questions. Why this, why that? Now they're silent. They're silently stooped inside of their handheld devices with their heads down. And we've all been led that way, but that doesn't mean that we need to continue to course and go down that road. You know why a road is so deadly? A road is so deadly because it's paved by someone that you don't know. And you're driving down, or you're traversing that road that's been paved for you by someone that you don't know. They drive us, and they create the roads to where they want you to go. How many roads have you paved? How many directions have you laid? Our young people are not, they're still resilient. But at this state, it's perfect for the collapse, and to bring about something even worse in this collapse. Because everything is, we are so detached from each other now. So detached. Our electronical and digital connection is more important than our spiritual, physical, mental, emotional connection to others and to ourselves. They've created the perfect paradigm for artificial intelligence for us to surrender God-given intelligence for artificial intelligence. So this is something that we definitely need to change and pave our own road there. So number 10, hope for the future. When your day is consumed with merely surviving and filling a and finding a meal, many people will lose their perspective on the future. All those people who are paying for antidepressants, anti-anxiety medications will lose access to the medicine. Suicide rates will drastically increase. And this will be a trend that will be commonplace. There's not much to say from that, but, and I'm going to tell you, and then the trauma from the harsh change in society is going to be difficult for some people, but is also going to be liberating for so many. And I believe it's going to be extremely liberating for you and many people like you. Because that's the, let me tell you something about this whole thing. It's going to be a great opportunity because of so much will be taken away. And this is why they like to have a slow, smothering, suffocating economic collapse. They don't want to do it all at one time because the exposure to doing, when you do it all at one time, you actually run the risk of losing the ability to reinvent one or to come back with any form of authority with a new one. But they realize this, they're willing to make that gamble because they know and they believe that they can bring enough pain where people will surrender themselves to it and be willing to take any system as long as their comforts can return. So now, next is cleanliness. This is very important. This is very, very important. Whenever you look at a picture of people living during the first Great Depression, you notice bad haircuts, frayed clothes, general unkept appearances, clothing that you might have having to last to the end of the next Great Depression. During the Great Depression, you will be a lucky little girl if you have one or more dresses. Mothers would cut and sew clothes from other cloth and leftover animal feed bags and from charity food sacks to make clothing for their children. I wonder how many women these days even have a sewing kit, or men for that matter. If given the choice between buying a meal or buying soap, most people would pick food. Better to smell bad than to be hungry. Now let me tell you, this is very, very important because the cleanliness thing is going to be a real health risk. Super health risk. And I'm glad last week when Sister Davis called and talked about the pot, potable water and the non-potable water, the water that you drink has to be separated from the water that you can use because all water will be valuable. One of the things that you also want to do is you want to devise now ways in which you can maintain your personal hygiene as much as you possibly can. This is why getting calcium hypochlorine pool shock is so important, because it's a powder-based bleaching system that does not lose its overall cleaning ability, because you know bleach has a shelf life, and it starts to its overall cleansing and ability to disinfect is lost over time. This is why the powdered bleach is so important. And the best form of powdered bleach is the calcium, not the sodium-based bleach. You don't want to use the sodium-based bleach because you don't want to bring an illness and weaken your kidneys. So cleanliness is going to be so important. Maintaining one's hygiene. And right now, I think it's so important that you understand what are some of the things that you need to keep and some of the things that you need to sell. If you have clothes, I would say at this time, in this period in our lives, for what's coming, do not give up your clothes. You may need them, and there's definitely going to be people that need them, that will need them, that are close to you. Especially if you have young children, or if you know of people that have young children, those children are going to grow and continue to grow. And during this depression, if you don't have clothes that they can grow into, your friends, your immediate family, people that you love, the children that you love, you have to think 5, 10, 20 years in advance. So clothes I would look at as something that you should keep. One of the things that we should have kept that was that we gave up and we didn't even know that they were setting us up is the cash for clunkers cars. And this is how that works. And it's the same thing with the clothes. If you wanted to donate some of your clothes, that's fine, but you don't need to donate all of your clothes, especially now. Now with the things that are coming on, you need to keep the clothes. If you can put them away and store them in a safe place, that's what you need to do. And the reason being, just like the cash for clunkers, is this. Those clothes will be extremely valuable. Extremely valuable. The seasons will become deadly. Winter will become extremely deadly. And if you get stuck somewhere in this country that has harsh, long winters, and if you don't have the proper clothing for that, and then the maintenance of the clothing is going to be so important. And the upkeep of things is going to be so important. It's going to be significant. The winters are going to be significant. The springs are going to be significant. The summers are going to be significant. Also, you know, the cash for clunkers. One of the things that you're going to see is that, watch, in the next 5 or so years, all these nice cars that they've given everyone, these energy efficient ones, and they sold you on that, you know, save the environment stuff, which was nothing but a big propaganda, a big business propaganda plan, and was a big lie. They've gotten you out of being able to be self-sustaining, even from a vehicle standpoint. It was a time where you could have old cars and have interchangeable parts and fix and work on them. Nowadays, in order for you to have a car, you're going to need to have a computer to fix it. A computer. They've done away with the tools. They've done away with the everyday mechanic. So the transportation is going to totally change. They've done this through, and they called it, it was technology. It was better. But what you have now is cars that completely are completely vulnerable to hacking. These cars now, the newer cars that you have now, look it up. They can be hacked. I would say that there was a journalist, Hastings, that was killed by his car in Los Angeles. His car was hacked. If he had an old car, there was no way in the world that could have been done. But see, the bigger scope in this whole thing is this. It serves the perfect vehicle to trap people through an EMP. Because the older vehicles were EMP proof. If the sun set off a major CME and had a Clarington effect on the earth, the cars wouldn't have been affected by it. But now, all these electrical cars and all the cars of today, man, them things are shut off almost just off of a big power surge or power outage. It's ridiculous. And we need to think about these things because this is what we're being set up with. They never, ever, ever give you something for nothing. They always take away from you what's valuable and give you nothing. Cash for clunkers. They wanted all of those old cars off of the road. Not because of the emissions, but because they allowed you to have some sustainable qualities in which you can use to protect yourself and to be off of the grid. Can't be off the grid in no Prius. You are attached to the grid. Totally. So, that was that. Also, oops, lost my spot. Here we go. So now, Social Security and pension. The United States Social Security system is already drawing down to its reserves and running an annual deficit. The economic collapse will also affect the Social Security system. If you rely solely on Social Security for your retirement funds, you will be greatly humbled in the next Great Depression. When the stock market collapses, the next Great Depression, so goes your pension and your investments. What needs to say more, but then this. You already know that. We talk about that extensively. But now one of the things I want to expand on that is this. Right now, as we speak, the markets are in a very, very, and the pension funds are all ready to go. Everything is lined up there. There's nothing more that needs to be done there other than pulling the switch. And if you don't think this is true, for everyone that has a pension with their employer, call your HR, human resources, because that's what they think you are, a human, a resource to them. Call a pension fund or the human resource assistance people that handle the pension and tell them that you want to make a change to it. And see all of the hoops and how long it takes you to make just the smallest change to it. Oh, then try to make a significant change. And check back and see how long it takes for that to happen. They purposely do this, but they have a very efficient way to take your cash. It's never wrong. But when it comes to disbursement or making changes that they don't want you to make because they don't consider it yours anymore, they won't do it. God forbid you tell them that you want to take it and see what happens. If it was such a great deal and if it was so beneficial to you, you would be able to use it for your own investments now. You don't have access to it because they've already taught you nothing about finances. Why do you think high schools don't teach about debt and about bills? Why do you think that you will never get a financial class that teaches you how to avoid debt, teaches you how to be your own investor, teaches you how to be a prodigious saver? Because the only saving that they want you to do is for them. They want you to sacrifice your labor as their saving. And they know that they have a system to which they believe that they're entitled to it now. And they know that they're not going to pay you back. All they have to do is develop a plausible system to say that everything was lost. And you know what? You know that you would even do that to people yourself if you were in their shoes, from what you've been taught so far in life? You've been taught that they do these things, and we still ignore them. This is a very elaborate scheme that we live. So now, right now, as we speak, there's a company called Glencore. Kind of like Common Core. We're going to talk about Common Core teaching. Some of the stuff is ridiculous with it. Want to teach these young people. But Glencore is one of the largest precious metals companies, mines in the world. They're out of Switzerland. And they are purposely being driven out of business and collapsing. And what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to give up their physical holdings of silver. They shorted their business with their projections of foreseeable silver production in the future. And once that reached a certain point, then the bankers came in and said, collapse them, and then now they'll have to give up the assets. This is nothing but more than a cash for gold scheme, the same one that they ran you through in 2007, 2008, 2005, 2004, 2003. You see all the cash for gold places all over the place. That's because they were telling you to bring in your gold and we'll give you cash. Because they knew that they were giving you worthless and you were giving them priceless. It's the same thing that they do in all businesses. One of the things about these bankers is this. They understand the art of destroying the business that you want to buy while keeping the abilities of the business viable, relevant. Just destroy the business. Make whoever has the business extend all of the liabilities. And you get all of the profit. So Glencore is purposely going out of business like Lehman Brothers in 2008. And it is going to happen because of its credit default swaps and the derivatives that are attached to it. Because once these derivatives go, here comes the next great depression. Because now they can start to liquidate everything because of the debt is so enormous, they can now call in the loan. So if you're a company that had to take out a lot of debt in order to maintain and keep your business going and to hedge your future profits against that, that's exactly what they want. Because then what they do is this. They cause the commodity price or whatever it is that you sell to lose paper value and you get paid less for it, but you still have to make the same payment based off of the numbers that you got that loan in. So in other words, if you in the oil industry, most of the oil companies made loans at the barrel of oil being sold at $87 to $95 a barrel. But right now, oil is only being sold at 40 some dollars a barrel. That shortfalling of $40 per barrel is killing them and causing them to go out of business. It's just like it would be in your house. You already have a budget for a certain amount coming in. Then all of a sudden, you have a shortfall of what's coming in. Your obligations stay the same, but your abilities have been cut in half. It's the classic hostile takeover, strategical takeover. And we call it a free market. No, there's no such thing as a free market. It's completely manipulated. And these people mean you no good. But listen, everyone, we're going to get out of here. I am, you know, sorry we didn't get to some of the other things. We will definitely get it because there are some real financial things that are going on in the world and in this country that's being set up. And I'm going to tell you, if you would like to know about the precious metals class, definitely give me a call, 951-790-8330, or give me a text, text me. We'll have a class tonight at roughly 1 hour from now. So send me a message or give me a call. I'll tell you what you need to do to participate in that class. And these classes are so important. Let me tell you why these bankers are getting rid of Glencoe, because they know where the price of precious metals are going. They know where the assets of value are going to be. And believe me, you can't just buy precious metals and think that it will completely save you from what's going to happen, because you're going to be buying out of ignorance, and they are going to take it from you because you don't know what you have. The most important, you got to know how to leverage it and what to use it for and how to play it. So this is one of some of the things that we teach inside of the precious metal class, one of the many. So everyone, just want to thank you all sincerely for listening to Tando Radio Show. Continue to support Black Talk Radio Network. And it's never goodbye. As always, I'll see you later. And much love, much respect. It's never goodbye. I'll see you later. Much love, much respect. Talk to you later. Peace.
Girl, you are rich, even with nothing.